The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. Journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. Journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. Now this weekend, the church is observing, by way of remembrance, the so-called Cappadocian Fathers. These are names, sadly, largely forgotten by many in pop American Christianity, but the names may sound familiar to you. Basil the Great of Caesarea, Gregory of Nazianzus, Gregory of Nyssa. These are giants in early church history, 4th century church history, for the confession of the Orthodox faith. Joining us to talk about the Cappadocian Fathers in advance of the church's remembrance on this Friday afternoon, January the 8th, Dr. Thomas von Hagel. He's professor of theology at Concordia University, Chicago, and author of the book One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism, Christians Through the Centuries. Dr. von Hagel, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
These three, Basil the Great of Caesarea, Gregory of Nazianzus, Gregory of Nyssa, these are names that are largely forgotten in popular Christianity today. If we did not have these three Cappadocian fathers from the late 4th century, what would we be missing today in Christianity?
Well, one of the great benefits that they provided for the church was that in between the first ecumenical council in Nicaea in 325, which the Son was declared of one substance or homoousios with the Father, and then the second ecumenical council in 381, that's in Constantinople, in which the doctrine of the Holy Spirit being equal to the Father and the Son, these three worked in between these councils and helped the Christian church clearly communicate the Christian faith concerning the three persons of the Holy Trinity, that there is one substance, there's only one God, but at the same time, Father, Son, and Spirit are three distinct or individual persons. And so they played a rather significant role in developing the terminology that we use to communicate. Now, they didn't create the doctrine. They simply developed terminology that the Christian church could use in her public confession of the Christian faith. And now, of course, that language we're also familiar with, one God and three persons, that they played an important role in helping establish that and making it common in the church.
Well, when we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Thomas von Hagel on the Cappadocian Fathers. Why are they called Cappadocian? And what kind of errors were they combating in the 4th century? Stay tuned.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown in Kirkwood and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. Journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. Journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
When you're dealing with God, you're dealing with a God who, judicially speaking, is a little crazy. This is like night court. He's just going and dismissing cases left and right.
Bottom line is whether we as a society are going to endorse the instrumental use of human life at its earliest stages in scientific research.
We may believe these same things, but ultimately over time, in confessing them in a different manner, it may not have any short-term effect, but long-term, large effect.
Hermann Sasse said, the future belongs to those who dare to confess their dogma. We must dare to confess the scriptures, no matter what the culture presses upon us.
One of our pet rescuers in 22 states will come, rescue their pet once the rapture happens, and care for them as their own.
In 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. Ordinarily, at the end of a Friday's program, we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Well, with all the 52 weeks of 2009 finished, we've gone back and picked some of the very best soundbites that were winners, and we're going to play them for you, five of them, and you get to pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. The best vote gets the LPR bundle package. That's normal. Travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, I Have Issues t-shirt. Also, a one-year membership to the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, and a signed copy of Pastor Matt Harrison's great new book called At Home in the House of My Father's. Best vote when we play Soundbite of the Year in 20 minutes. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Thomas von Hegel of Concordia University, Chicago, is our guest. We're talking about the Cappadocian Fathers, Basil the Great of Caesarea, Gregory of Nazianzus, Gregory of Nyssa. Dr. von Hegel, why are they called Cappadocian?
Well, they're from Cappadocia. Cappadocia is just like in Asia Minor, where you have Galatia. East of Galatia is Cappadocia, and it's just a geographical area from which these gentlemen were from and did their work as bishops and teachers.
Not only are they contemporaries, two of them are brothers. Tell us about that.
Basil the Great and Gregory of Nyssa were brothers, and they were from a rather prominent Christian family. Parents were staunch Christians. They came from a family that had relatives who had been persecuted for the Christian faith. And then also, rather significantly, they had a sister, Macrina, who Gregory of Nyssa writes a biography of her, just a delightful story of her life.
Let's talk a little bit about Gregory of Nazianzus. He's both a bishop and a theologian. What do we know about him?
Well, I mean, he was a rather significant theologian. One of the, not only for him, but in terms you'd mentioned earlier about the question about the importance of these three gentlemen and what the church would have lost without them. Gregory is a good example of that, and how he plays a part with all the others in that they all were theologians of not only the highest quality, but they wrote a great number of different types of literature. That, for example, with Gregory of Nazianzus, a lot of orations and sermons that we have of his that are just wonderful theology. He wrote rather well on the doctrine of the incarnation. Basil the Great, who wrote two rules, a long rule and a short rule for monks or ascetics, and he also wrote this little treatise on the Holy Spirit, where he works on that, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity and the place of the Holy Spirit in it, and how we would use the Gloria Patri, and then kind of shows a little bit of the early development of in the early church, how the Arians or those who rejected the Holy Spirit as true God would have had to change the Gloria Patri so that all three persons could not equally receive they could not equally receive glory since they weren't all equally God. But he argued against that. So I said, getting around to where you're heading. But one thing I simply wanted to get in here is the importance of these three folks in addressing a great number of different areas and at a rather high theological level as well.
Their writing, their preaching, their work, all, as you look back out on it in history, it seems to attest to the tenacity of both the error they were combating, Arianism, that denied the full deity of Christ, and the need for not just to say a council condemns Arianism and then let it lie there, a need to preach, to write, and to continue to stamp out this kind of pernicious error. Talk about that, if you would.
With the Council of Nicaea in 325, when Arianism is rejected, it just like in our own day, that doesn't mean that it simply ceases to exist. There are Arians who are hiding their Arianism, but it's still sneaking out here and there. And then there will be those on the edges of the fringes of the church and the empire who will be staunch Arians and will continue to teach Arianism. And then there are, of course, the Macedonians who reject the divinity of the Holy Spirit as well. And so they're out there as well. And so even in 381, when they're rejected, when the third article is added to the Nicene Creed in 381 at the Second Ecumenical Council, there's still those false teachers teaching, and so they never rested, they never relaxed, they continued to teach those the orthodox teachings of the church. They still had to daily combat it every day with their preaching and teaching, really just like pastors and teachers even do to this day, where heretics and heresies are often continually floating about the church, even though they have been rejected. And so that's what these men did very well in their day as well.
If we were to open up the works of these three men that we could find extant today and read what they were saying to their church in the fourth century, what would sound familiar, what would sound different to us, to our 21st century ears?
In terms of what I've mentioned earlier with the fact that there's one God and three persons, that's certainly an important part of their teachings and preaching that has remained a mainstay in our church, and I assume most Christians today are very much used to that type of terminology. What might sound a little odd or different, particularly among Protestants, is the emphasis upon asceticism, whether it's Basil's rules for ascetics, a long and short rule, or even Gregory of Nyssa's description of his sister, who is an ascetic. Great reverence was shown to those Christians in the early church who, after the martyrs ceased to exist, not because they're put to death, but because the Edict of Milan in 313, and then martyrdom fades out, and then Christianity begins to take a hold of the empire. Ascetics begin to play a prominent role of folks who are willing to give their life, maybe not literally, but more spiritually, for the sake of Christ and the church. And so for some Protestants who would, hold very staunchly to the theological teachings of the Cappadocian Fathers, particularly on the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, I'm guessing they'd be a little nervous wanting to show too much reverence to monks and nuns, those who pretty much reject the secular life and simply spend the majority of their time in prayer and in service to their neighbor and in prayer to God.
Finally, then, as the church prepares to remember these Cappadocian Fathers, what can we learn today from them?
Their faithfulness, even in the midst of persecution, not so much from the outside, although some, but also disagreements within the church and from those who the church has declared heretic, heretics, the fact that these three men continued to remain faithful to the Word of God and the teachings of the Church, so that in light of all troubles and problems ahead, they did not waver but continued to be faithful.
Dr. Thomas von Hagel is professor of theology at Concordia University, Chicago. He's author of the book, One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism, Christians Through the Centuries. You can purchase this book by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy. You can find One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism at the website for Concordia Publishing House, cph.org. Dr. von Hagel, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, when we come back, the last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday, January the 8th, is going to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. Normally at this time, we're playing Soundbite of the Week, but we've come to the end of 2009, beginning 2010. We want to look back at some of the winners of Soundbite of the Week. We picked five of them for you to consider a Soundbite of the Year. Now, you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. We are coming to you live this Friday. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @issuesetc. When we come back, we'll play the sound bites, and you'll get your chance to vote for Soundbite of the Year. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This Sanctity of Human Life Month, what can you do?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
January 23rd marks the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. You can use this opportunity to further the pro-life message by writing a letter to the editor of your local paper. You can point out that 37 years of abortion on demand have allowed government and society to get away with not providing real choices to women in crisis. No woman wants to have an abortion, yet every year more than 1 million women put themselves through this dangerous procedure. Abortion doesn't solve problems, it only creates new ones. 37 years of legal abortion is 37 years too many.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.